Because so many people, Alan, are put on to a false guilt trip.
I know.
This is an Italian family here in town, and so she was told, and a whole bunch of children, and this one was for Rome, and this one was going to be trained to be a priest locally, and the rest, well, one of the girls should become a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And so these children used to spend a lot of time at my place.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent educating these children.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And just recently, one of these children had his second child.
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, I said, isn't this much better than, running around in a bunch of black skirts,
mm-hmm.
and serving Rome, huh? And he said, oh, he says, my mama never understood why I didn't. I said, well, I said, you were destined to be Papa. I said, but not Papa Popo. He laughed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, he says, Popo, we clean enough in the diapers. He says, we don't need to go to Rome. And I said, wow, this child has come a long way because he was destined to be shipped off there. When I got him at the age of 14, I said, hey, wait a minute. Sweetie, don't think that you have to. There's nothing that you have to. I said, you're too fond of all the pretty girls. Go and find yourself a girlfriend.
Yes. Yes. And that's what they're called nuns, so have none of that.
Yeah.
Yes. So now we're looking at a church which has an exoteric and an esoteric side to it. The degreed system of priestessy from the black robe at the bottom, the mixes with the profane, the people, the public, those in the dark, and then going all the way up to the guy in white through all the different Pythagorean colors, Pythagorean colors,
uh-huh.
And initiations up until you get to the guy in white at the top. So this is the same revolutionary thing down through the ages. Pythagoras got this from Egypt because he was initiated into the mysteries of Egypt.
Yeah.
And what you find that Egypt was exporting in ancient times was revolution. They trained these guys that came to them, and they went out into the world to create revolution, and revolution towards ultimately the creation of a total world order. That's what it was to be for. And you find the same thing with Socrates. Socrates studied in Egypt, and he went back to Greece, and Socrates started up, just like Pythagoras, his own school, taking the young noble children. You see, that's what they go for, especially. They try to get the nobility's children.
Yeah.
And initiate them into a way of thinking and mystery, and then get the children to either have a revolution and bring in the new system, or else, in fact, what Pythagoras did, he was marrying off the trained women into the noble families who then influenced their husbands to change. So this technique's been used for many, many thousands of years by the same mystery religion which came from Greece and moved to Rome. I don't think people realize that right up until the end of Rome, the higher noble elite who ran Rome were really of Greek extract. They still spoke Greek amongst themselves.
Yeah, also when you go and listen to them, they do not also speak common language because they amongst each other speak Latin.
Yeah.
And that's a known fact, and these hierarchy families, they also do not speak the language of the towns they live in, because the servants do not understand them. They are not supposed to understand them when they talk. And
the first occasion I had to meet a Jesuit, I didn't know where he was. What?
Uh-huh.
And I was living in the north of Scotland at the time, and a friend of mine, who was married, said his best friend was coming up to go visit. And I met the guy, and he had a couple of years there in the house.
Yeah.
And then I went over to see an another guy I knew, and he said, "Well," I said, "Lawrence will be drunk tonight, and that's when this guy will make his move." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Oh, this guy's a Jesuit." He said he comes up to visit Lord Lawrence, gets him drunk, and goes upstairs with his wife every time he's been there. And that's exactly what happened. We sat up watching, and sure enough, the light went on in the bedroom across the street. Lawrence was downstairs drunk, and this guy was in bed with Lawrence's wife. This guy was a Jesuit. And he drank like a fish, he cursed like a trooper. And of course, that's part of the thing they do, because they can be sent into society, and you can live next door to them and never know that they're actually a Jesuit. But then they'll go into NGO meetings or town council meetings or work their way up and start help to manipulate policies. And so this is what they're allowed to do, yeah.
Yeah, that's I agree 100% with you, that's true. But many of the people out here, Alan, they really do not have a clue what they're in for. Ladies and gentlemen, you who are listening, if you want to get your pencil and your piece of paper, tonight you are listening. Topic, Cutting Through the Matrix, Management of Society, Predictive Programming, Exploitation by Agenda, including how Canada fits in, Masonic orders to the 360th degree, and much more. And, of course, you are listening to the, and, of course, expect the unexpected. That's what you need to do tonight. Get your friends, your families to listen, because this is the way it is. You know, it isn't the David Icke stuff. This is the nitty-gritty right to the plank. Or some people would say to the bone. I don't want to use the bone, but to the plank for sure. And Alan Watt, researcher and author, website, www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And, of course, we have three books available. Cutting Through 1, The Androgynous Hermaphroditic Agenda. Cutting Through 2, A Glimpse into the Great Work. Cutting Through 3, Esoteric Unveiled and the Meaning of Revelations in the High Masonic Tradition. Now, Alan, how many of the people that are listening do not have a clue that revelation is like a blueprint of what they are going to do? When I told this even to a person who was a former Jesuit, he looked and stared at me and said, "Well, were you a little priest or a big priest? If you were a big priest, you would have known." How come they do not all know?
It's a need-to-know basis. I mean, all Freemasonry is a need-to-know basis. In fact, you're not allowed to ask a fellow brother who's superior anything about his initiations into the higher orders and what he's taught. You're not allowed to ask that. So it's a need-to-know basis, and you simply accept on faith that you know all you need to know at that particular degree, and you have faith in those above you as being superior. And also, it's a law within themselves that a lower Mason must accept and fulfill any order given by a superior Mason, regardless of what it is. the uniform is one form. Masons form things, you shape things. And so they're shaping them all into one form. They act as one. And that's, again, wherever you hear this, we are all one stuff, that's all Masonic. That's what they want you to believe. Well, the high ones know that they are different at the top. They are not us at the top. That's what they know. We're not all one at all. The army is to shape you into one.
And one is slavery.
When you stand at attention, and this word will crop through all the English language because it's intentional, and in Aten with the old sun god, you see.
Yes.
And Athens, you stand at attention. It's a play on Aten. And you salute Sol. It's from Sol, the sun. You salute the sun. This is all masonry in the army. And that's where it comes from. You put up your hand up to the one eye. It's the eye of Ra or Horus. As you salute the sun. And it's because Horus lost one eye and his spite was set in the mystery religion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a totally Masonic institution where the privates themselves haven't a clue that they're actually going through Masonic rituals. And yet every major army camp has its own Masonic lodge within it. And they also have traveling lodges that go on with them on their campaigns. So I could write a book on just the Masonic symbology within that itself, just the army. Live in their world.
But when you look around and you know, most people are not aware because they're seeing blind, because they don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah. Again, this is a trick which was explained by many people down through the ages. And Lenin, who had been sent to get the Soviet system in, which was the fastest way to create a common culture and governmental organization, schooling, everything, bureaucratic, over many small countries unified into one, Lenin knew his task, and he was sent in by the big bankers, and of course he simply took over the World Revolutionary Party from Mazzini, who had been taught by Albert Pike, once again, the revolutionary Freemason. So there's a continuation, and they changed the name from the World Revolutionary Party of the Scottish Rite of Freemasons to the World Communist Party. And Lenin was its head. That was a Masonic takeover. And Lenin said, he said, there are 1,000 directions that mankind could go in society. He said, but the public must not be allowed to know that. They must think that the one they're born into is the only natural evolution there could be. And so when you're born into it and your parents don't know themselves, then the child, as all mammals do, they look to the parents to warn them of danger. If the parents don't know, the child seldom will question. And they'll think everything within that world of his is there by some normal evolution. He will not question it. That's how simple the technique is. It's mammalian or mammal behavior, which has been studied eons ago, and now is used against the people to keep them blind.
But when we look at the Middle East right now,
mm-hmm.
and we look at all this, you know, when you really step back at it, it is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have the people in... as it called this place, they made the tree where Michael Jackson went there. They have skiing there. They made artificial snow. They have an artificial mountain. I don't know. It's not Kuwait. It's Dubai.
Okay.
Dubai. And when you look at those people there, how much Masonic control would there be in the Bay?
I would think it's probably very high. But remember that for the Knights Templars, and the Knights Templars were part of the mystery religion, they had a lot of followers who got slaughtered, but they escaped, most of them anyway. And movies you see to glamorize them.
Yeah.
Remember that they were warrior priests, number one. Priests, yeah. You see. And they had various vows of celibacy, etc. But when they merged in the Middle East with the Hashashim, they call them. And the word is often used with hash or hashish, because the old man of the mountain, who was a friend, actually he grew up with Omar Khayyam, the poet, but his friend became the old man of the mountain, and he used to take in young orphans, again under the guise of charity, beautiful system, and on the mountain he had incredible wealth, and he brought them up as though they were in heaven. They could have anything they wanted. This technique, by the way, is still used today by the high orders from the Catholic Church and the High Masonic Church. It's all one and the same thing at the top. They take elite members of families,
yeah,
and let them do whatever they want, give them lots of money. They can break all the rules. They can smoke dope and so on, get away with it.
Yeah.
And they make them very spoiled. And Pierre Trudeau of Canada was one of those. So he was trained for his function. But the old man in the mountain, getting back to the Knights Templars, when the Templars met him, now that he brought up these orphans to be warriors, and well-educated warriors, and he would send them off into surrounding caliphates, and they become advisors to princes and so on. And yet, whenever they got the message to assassinate anyone, they did it automatically, and then just stood there with the knife in their hand, waiting to be killed. They were the first lone knightmen, you know. And so people were terrified of these assassins, as they called them, from Shashin, their name. And the Knights Templars went up there to impress the old man in the mountain. And they had a jousting tournament with the knights to say, well, look what we can do, you know. And then the old man simply got up. He pointed to about 50 of his young men, and he says, and he pointed, and they all ran over the edge of a cliff to their deaths. And then the old man said to the Templars, beat that. And the Templars knew they were licked. This was an incredible power when the Gamay could order men to do what they did. And so the Templars amalgamated with this particular sect. And of course that sect supposedly was wiped out a few centuries later, but it wasn't, you know.
No.
In fact, I think the last Grand Master was the King of Jordan, who died recently.
Yeah.
Lion.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a descendant, direct descendant of the old man in the mountain. So these sects still exist today in the Middle East, and we must remember, when you belong to any Masonic group or any of the many names, Babylon had 1,000 faces of ISIS, meaning there are many names for the same thing, all appearing to be different on the surface. When you belong to any of these sects, you now swear allegiance to an international brotherhood, and those people you live amongst are therefore not of your kind anymore. People must get that through their heads, because they're following leaders all over the world who are leading them to their doom.
When you say this, and you know, when we are trying to get people to wake up, when we say to people, you need to join the movement called Change, because the movement Change is going to give them the empowerment that they can start to look out for themselves. But then somebody says, why should we have to look out for themselves? You keep on saying it. And you don't understand, there's nothing to worry about. I said, well, I said, you know, once you understand the danger you are in, when you thought World War II was horrific, when you thought of other things that since have been out there that are orchestrated and are horrific, now you have to come to the realization, and I have said it. I have a dear friend in Los Angeles who can go and go by plane to Africa, and he can bring all the rain these people would want to have, and yet he's forbidden to go there, and he's been shot at, and because he says this is weather engineering. People are dying from thirst. Nothing is growing. Millions of people are dying of AIDS. And if so, they are orchestrating cleaning up African lands because they have an agenda for Africa. They have an agenda, and you know, I wish people would listen, that they have an agenda for the Mississippi, for New Orleans, and for some other areas. And people say, how can you keep on saying this, Alan? We need to wake them up.
Yes, I know. So the United Nations has it on the website of wetlands, and before the hurricane hit New Orleans, they had that whole area designated for future wetlands, except for a brand new small city, which would deal primarily with the oil industry. So how come they could have that up there and plans to do it without the hurricane coming along? That was a necessity. So they make their plans in advance, and with weather modification, we've seen it used in Canada, where in Alberta, they had about 3 years in a row of drought.
Yeah.
And then followed by flooding. And they've done the same in some of the Midwest countries in the States, and they put the farmers out of business, because that's the part of the agenda. I don't know if people realize that with the NAFTA negotiations and the free trade negotiations that went on beforehand, they had parts of places like Chile designated as the manufacturer for farmers, for growing vegetables and so on, for the Americas. So that's to be the future supplier for farm produce for the Americas, and they're putting the ones back home under the ground. The rest of them are being amalgamated by Archer Daniel Midlands, which is Adam, of course, you know, it's Masonic again.
Yeah.
And Conagra and a few other ones. So the outside of the big agribusiness ones, the rest of the produce is to come from Chile. And our tax money is being funneled in, and has been for years, into Chile to these multinational corporations so they can set up this produce and get it going. So we're paying for it right now.
And the way the press and health organizations have closed farm after farm, THTA had no proven disease, is to be noted. But people don't understand that Canada, very soon, and America, but they will say in Canada, that we have the bird flu, and everybody has to line up, maybe, as you said, in April. That people have to line up and get their shots for the bird flu so you can be programmed when you die. Because as we said 4 years ago to these lovely people here, the people in the warehouse near Ontario, in the Ontario, Ottawa area, there's a warehouse and there are boxes with bottles with vaccination material. One bottle is white, one bottle is blue, and one bottle is red. And the one bottle means you're going to die, the other one is going to mean you will die slowly, and the other one bottle means you live. And this person who works there, she said it's amazing because they already have boxes full with the names on the bottles of the people. So they already have made it so that they say, well, these people are over 55 years of age and or 60 years of age. We don't need them anymore. We don't want them. So they get syringe A. The other ones, well, you know, really the young, but you know, well, we don't really want them either, but you can't kill them all off so suddenly, so they go slowly. And bottle number three, oh, well, yeah, these are young, they're energetic, they have energy, we can use them for whatever we want to use them for.
And the right genes, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the new ID card, I don't think people know it, is your DNA will be in it. Your DNA code is going to be in your ID card. And it's already introduced into Britain. They started it last week. And you have a voice print along with your medical history. Your recent vaccinations are all updated on that card. And also your DNA type. So it's also to do, again, with this breeding program. If you're
but the people do not understand, like the people in the Mississippi, you know, when we said to people there, you know, we would want you, and you know, I have pleaded with them to move out of there. Move out, get out while you can get out. And they say, oh no, because you know, we could go back there and rebuild. I said, they don't want you to rebuild. And haven't you gotten the messages? Haven't you seen what they have done to you and what they are doing to others? Oh, but that's evil what you say. I said, well, I said, just look with common sense what's taking place. And then when you came on and you were talking about, somebody said, oh, he's talking like you talk. I said, no, it's not that he's talking like I talk. We know that there is an agenda out there, and it has nothing to do with conspiracy, because they want you to believe it's conspiracy, because they know that people starting to get on to them.
Absolutely. They slapped the term on conspiracy theory, even though one of their main writers, H.G. Wells, for the elite, wrote a book called The Open Conspiracy. He said everything is made available to the public on these world meetings to do with depopulation, etc., if they want to go to the libraries and find it. But there's no real sex and violence and drama in there, so people don't bother to read them, which the elite are well aware of. But those books are out there if you want to get them on depopulation. Huxley wrote about it too. All of the main characters they give us done through the last 100 years wrote about it profusely. Charles Darwin did. I mean, Charles Darwin came out not with a new theory. His grandfather had already put a book out, but he just borrowed the stuff from it. Read, plagiarized from Wallace, who did the real work. They're all Masons. And of course, all Darwin was doing was espousing the secret doctrine of Freemasonry, because it believes in a superior gene, which they claim they have, if you bred well, well-bred, as they called it, and they believe that the problem with the Nazis is that they marry in common. In other words, they don't specify their wife, they don't check the genealogies to get superior offspring, like the breeding racehorses or something. And so that's why you're a commoner, you marry in common, you don't have a selected wife for you. And so they talked about culling off the excess population, the useless eaters, as Lord Bertrand Russell calls them. And he worked again for the same royal establishment in London, England, the Royal Society of Freemasons and Scientists. And so there's plenty of information out there on depopulation programs. Arthur Koestler, or Koestler, K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R, wrote the book The Ghost in the Machine, and this beautiful man, this very sweet man, came over from being an officer with Stalin, where he'd helped to starve millions of people in Ukraine to death for part of what they called historical necessity. That's what they put down when they have to kill you off. It's called historical necessity.
Someone asks you here, was Bernard Shaw a Freemason? Seems like it, after reading an excerpt from an unsocial socialist. You know what people do also not know, that they're being programmed for slavery.
Yeah, that's the key. George Bernard Shaw was one of the founders of the Fabian Society, the H.G. Wells and Sidney Webb belonged to. And actually, George Bernard Shaw was bred for his job. He was literally physically bred for his job. He never met his father, and he was groomed to write what he wrote, and trained by his mother to believe in the things he believed in. And George Bernard Shaw, who believed in a very high Freemason, he totally believed in this high noble class caste system. The followers of the Fabian Society, the bottom thinkers for the working class, well, they should read the memoirs of Sidney Webb, who drafted the Constitution. He said the masses must never be given power. He said they must simply do what they're told. And if the logo is the wolf in sheep's clothing. That's the logo of the Fabian Society. So George Bernard Shaw wrote many books. And what he used to do is write it often in novel form. to get it across to the people in a novel form, to get them, because people will change their attitudes more readily through fiction than being presented with a boring lecture. So this is standard. And he wrote a one called Man and Superman. Now, people think the Superman thing began with Adolf Hitler. No, it did not. The Superman thing is the creation of the Superman through selective breeding in high Freemasonry, and right from Charles Darwin, who espoused it, openly espoused that, and tried to validate it by stating it was a new discovery, this thing called evolution. No, this is the old Masonic doctrine of specialized breeding to create a super race who will rule the world. And George Bernard Shaw said the same thing in Man and Superman. He said the old man who cannot come through into the new technical come through, they must be destroyed. So if people bother to go to the library, you don't have to buy these books, you can take them out the library, and you'll find who's behind what's happening today. After Kessler again, who wrote The Ghost in the Machine. And the ghost in the machine is just the individual you. What makes you an individual? That's what he means. And he worked, after he came from Stalin's Russia, with the United Nations for years, finding ways to lobotomize chemically or through the use of viruses and inoculations that part of the brain that gives you your personal survival mechanism. He said the public don't need it anymore because the state will be making all their decisions for them.
Well, you know, when you start to look, Alan, at the moment what is happening in Venezuela and Argentina, especially in Argentina, the people there already have suffered like there's no tomorrow there, and we suddenly discover that Ted Turner, CNN, has bought up how many hundreds of thousands of acres, and we have then some so-called conservative organization from the United States of America who have bought up for just about nothing thousands of acres of land, or not hundreds of thousands. And then we have Benetton from Italy, and they also have bought up, like most, and it was so sad because the person said, most of our land, our country, outside of the cities, has been is now owned by Americans and other foreigners.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, yeah. Well, if this person who is there proclaiming they are conservationist for America, why doesn't he really well get into gear and do that in America?
Yes.
Where there's beautiful land that is at risk. Mm-hmm.
I know. And what you also find down through history is that the high priesthoods who tend to create empires move down through history and move and create new world empires by simply bringing their money and their technique with them, and then move on again. And each time they're really creating a larger and larger empire until ultimately you have the world empire. And that's why I coined the phrase, which was used by the news media after the Twin Towers, the Jackin and Boas of Freemasonry were hit. I said that the empire strikes back. Because it's New York, the Empire State, which is the world state. That's what they mean by it. So you're looking at an old agenda, incredible old agenda here to create a world, a state, world government, common system, worldwide standardized, because the knights of old stuck a standard in the ground, their flag, and that was what they did, standardized everything wherever they went. And that's what is coming today. Now, they often flatten the main country they've used after they've used it in some sort of ritual, in a sense. They'll often destroy it, that which was, you see, to create that which must come, must be, as they say. So the United States, that was created to bring in the new world order, the Novus Ordo Seclorum, will be then brought down to third world
people do not understand when they hear us say this, because they're in the world order, they're in the world order. And then you say to the people, just wait a very, very moment. We need to understand that there is something so large behind this, so organized, but now, because we can speak to the people at large around the world, that they can be educated, they can come into the wisdom, and people can start to say, hey, wait a minute, I am not going to be your slave. I am not going to be your donkey and pull your cart up the mountain while you will push me off the cliff when you have your cart on top.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are doing.
What is astounding is to watch the New Age people who think, really, that they have the truth because they followed the Pied Pipers that are sent out by MI5 and MI6 to lead them the merry dance into neutralizing the mind and to doing nothing. And of course, when you believe that nothing's real and that guy is cutting your throat, well, that's not my throat, it's an illusion. You've just been put into psychosis land, and by a very clever technique that's very old, you neutralize an enemy in psychological warfare so that he will not resist anything, he won't even participate in trying to change anything, he'll simply wait and let everything happen because he believes that nothing's real.
Yes, not only when you say that they don't believe that nothing is real, because we have the IKEAs out there that say, you know, you just go into the other dimension, you're hullabaloo, and then we have those out there people. And you know, it's amazing, because listening to some of the people today, people seem to be in a state as if you would say, well, nearly catatonic, because they are saying, yeah, but what are we going to do? Or, here in Canada, well, you know, but they say our economy is better than it has been for many years. I said, you're being fooled, because when they say this, they split all the jobs up in three-day jobs, and they are making you believe in reality, people have only 3 days worth of work, and not 6 or 7 days worth of work. They only have 3 days, so the hoodlums do not have to pay any security for you, or dental, or whatever is there that they did before. Even though the Masonic story at one time was that they would make sure that everyone up on the planet would have health care, dental care, and a social program for the sick, the handicapped, and the elderly. But that's not true. So now we have to put people, Alan, and I want you to explain this to people, the danger that they are in at this moment, because, you know, somebody actually had the gall to look me in the eye and say to me, yeah, but you know, somebody says what you're speaking about is conspiracy. I said, no, all you need to do is take the shells off your eyes, step back and take a serious look at what is happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to the realization that you are in the greatest danger you have ever been in, because farms, many people on the farms have been pushed to a situation where they can barely live themselves, and they cannot resurrect themselves financially, economically, and we are now also looking that everything that is there so-called sent to other countries to manufacture, and the stuff that comes back from some of the other countries is so bad it wouldn't last. So if you don't buy that, or can buy what lasts or endures, and what people have pride in producing, That means doesn't matter what garbage they manufacture, because you won't have to live long enough to wear it out.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, as I say, with the New Agers, they've been immobilized because they've followed a carefully planned Pied Piper dance and led a merry dance into neutralizing themselves from any effective doings. And that was intentional. That's traditional psychological warfare practiced by the elite for many centuries. And they think that their enemy is the Christian church. Now look at the Christian church with its revelations. Once again, well, it must be true. It's going to happen. There's nothing you can do because God wrote that in that book himself.
You are a joker. You are a joker, Alan. God wrote that himself.
That's right. He put it in his own book. It's the holy book. It says holy. God wrote that.
Yeah.
So, and all Masons use that book, by the way, because it's an esoteric meaning to everything. But that convinced people, the Christians, well, you can't do anything either because it's inevitable because God's making it happen. And in fact, if you try and change it, you're fighting God. So they're neutralized as well, you see. So this is a traditional tactic of neutralizing people at the end of an age while you're going to change it into the new. You use the new age and you use the old age and you neutralize both of them.
Yeah, 2020, when everybody, whatever has to be slaughtered and everything that has to be destroyed and everything that is in a state of shock because they put the earth into its polar shift. And oh, aren't we sitting pretty? Yeah, we have just rewritten our history just like the British Crown is doing at the moment with this friend's brother, who is the professor in England of history, who are rewriting history for, of course, the Grand Masons. But at the same time, you and I are sitting here. We have people from around the world, from Australia and everywhere else, listening, and they are not knowing, Alan, the danger they are in.
Yeah. Well, that's their plan, as you said before. It's the revealing, you know, it's revelations. And they say there, you know, that there'll be, well, you've certainly got signs in the heavens because they're spraying us like bugs every day from the planes. We're seeing the odd lightning and so on, and phenomenon through the heart technology and stellar technology.
Yeah, that's right.
But anybody who wants to look up what heart can do by itself, you can look up at the 1970, I think it's 78 charter. You can check it up anyway themselves, the United Nations. And heart, in there it says it can cause earthquakes. The heart technology, it can cause famines, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and be guided into any area inland. So you're looking at all the effects that heart can do alone. So that's where your mountains start falling on you and you wish you were dead. That's revelations. They have it all planned because the ancient technologies existed in ancient times.
Yeah, but people are hard to understand, Alan, that when we say that people already had a form of telephone in the 1800s and maybe before that, and because there's lots of evidence of it, because Emanuel Velikovsky, my darling old friend, he and his wife, they showed me a battery that was 2,000 years old and in good working order, and all kinds of gadgets who are not on display because they're keeping them from the people. He's passed on, but at the same time, we are living in a time, and ladies and gentlemen, we are saying it again to you. You are listening to Alan Watt, researcher and author, and we are saying to you, expect the unexpected, cutting through the matrix with one in the know, and of course we want you to know more than ever that you are in the know, because we want you to spread it, because we have formed an organization called Change, and that's very, very important. And, of course, hanging on there. And so you can get in touch with Alan Watt, researcher, author, website, www. www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Books. Three books are available. Cutting Through 1, The Androgynous Hermaphroditic Agenda. Cutting Through 2, A Glimpse into the Great Work. Cutting Through 3, Esoteric Unveil and the Meaning of Revelations in High Masonic Tradition. Each is $25 payable in international postal money. Order which is available at your post office. Don't grump to me. We have given you this for 5 years. We have asked you for support. And if you think by any chance that you do not need to support Alan Watt either, what do you think? Do you think we do this because we think it is so much fun for us to do? I think you should wake up because we're doing it so that you are going to be in the power and in the knowledge to claim that what is yours and to stay upon the planet. And you can join, of course, change and look as it circulates around, and you can go and get in touch. And this is very, very important of your empowerment, and this is where we need to go. We need you to go and get in touch with Alan. You can write to Alan up. Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Astaire, Ontario, Canada, P3E4N1. Or contact through webmaster at Alan Watt, cuttingthrough@yahoo.com. And don't follow Ike, because Ike is putting you on a new age hullabaloo path where you will not be able to protect yourself. Because it is the same kind of hullabaloo Helena Blavatsky brought you and Anna Blavatsky brought you when they said to each other, wow, they're buying it. They're buying it lock, stock, and barrel. Channel some more. And look how they buy it. And the people came out in droves because they wanted to learn to channel. When we had some new age women here lately, and we asked these new age women, how about this channeling? And they said, we feel very, very embarrassed. Since we have gotten to know you, we will never, ever get involved in that stuff again because we're awake now. Now, Alan is very, very, very good, and Alan gives it to you clear and clean to empower you so we can still bring change upon the planet before it's too late and time is short. How short is it, Alan?
It's getting very short, actually. They're on a roll for the agenda. People should look up archives.cbc.ca. For the CBC documentary on Unearthing a Deadly Mystery. That's the title. That's about when they dug up the corpses to regain the Spanish flu. These corpses were in frozen tundra up north of Canada. It was done on March 21st, 97. You'll find that's where this new bird flu has been taken from. The weaponized it to make it more deadly. And so if you check out the archives at cbc.ca, Unearthing a Deadly Mystery, March 21st, 1997. That's how close it is. Yeah.
How many people would we think are out there that really in the know and are going to spread the word, Alan?
There's a few people who will stick their heads up and say what they know. It's also a choice between those who have decided I don't want to know. That is a decision. And we can't help those who don't want to know. That's the choice they've made it. And I guess in all ages you have the dead. The dead will be dead, you know. That's what it always meant.
Yeah.
If you try to get up and become alive, you can help them. But those who choose to remain dead, that
problem here is, Alan, is that people, you know, we have somebody who comes and volunteers here. And the sister said to this person, well, you don't have to worry because David Icke has taught all of us to go into the other dimension. And I said, what do you mean, the other dimension? Oh, yes, she says, you can just leave this dimension and go into the other dimension. I said, hullabaloo! You need to come into reality. You need to become realistic. And, Alan, how much more energy would we give it to these people?
Well, we can't be sucked dry. We can't be sucked dry if the people are just vampiring the ones who understand. They will suck your energy and throw it away. But for those who understand, and it's clicking with them that they are alive or they're becoming alive, and they can certainly take action. It's no coincidence, by the way, that dementia is close to dementia. Demented.
Yeah.
And that's where they're becoming demented. They're not getting into dimension. Because if you wake up as you every morning, you pretty well can be sure that you are definitely you. And if you have a sore muscle one day, you can try and wish it away all you want, but the fact is your muscle's telling you that I've got a body here and it seems to be real, you know? So this neutralization of the mind to do nothing is standard counterintelligence techniques that's been used for thousands of years. And those with itching ears, they tell me more of what fascinates me, are born suckers for it and they fall for it every time.
You know, and it is so true. Ladies and gentlemen, Thursday, we're going to have Alan on Thursday during the day. During the day. So if you have friends that can't listen at night, we're going to have Thursday Alan here, and he's going to speak again for the so many time from his books. And I hope that you buy his books and that you go to his website www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And of course on Thursday Alan is going to be here. If you have friends that said they couldn't be here, you can say that we didn't do the best we could do for you, because so many of you said, oh, is he coming back? Yes, he is coming back. But why would he come back if you sit there with your head in the sand and if you're not going to go there to awaken your friends, your families, to come and listen to him? And that's where it is, to listen to him so your lives and your economy and your existence, wherever you are around the world, will be safe. And one more time, we warn the people that are in the India, Indonesia, Thailand areas, as we have done before, and you didn't listen, but this time I hope you spread the word, because you're in great danger. Okay, another thing is there, understanding what Alan tells you, that most of these disasters are either from experimentations or downright created situations where we have floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, and all these kinds of things. We had here a strange thing on Friday, half blue sky and a little bit of clouds, but we had lightning like we never saw before, strange red and gold colored lightning, not white lightning like you see it, in the sky, and no thunderclaps or anything, just great, huge lightning. So what we want to do is to do everything we can to help you, to reach out to you. So be here on Thursday, because Alan is going to be back here. Support Alan, support this program, because we have never seen any of you to pull your socks up. And if it's off the air, that's your problem. And if Alan can no longer keep up doing all the work he's doing, that is your problem then too. So, you know, and when they say it could be God's plan, which God is the God's plan who would destroy the planet? The Creator, the All of the All, would never destroy the planet he created for you. One more time before we go off the air. Alan Watt, researcher and author, www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. His books, three books are available. Cutting Through, one, The Androgynous Hermaphroditic Agenda. Cutting Through, two, A Glimpse into the Great Work. Cutting Through, 3, Esoteric Unveiled and the Meaning of Revelations in the High Masonic Tradition. And if you say High Masonic Tradition, you may as well say the High Jesuit Tradition as well. You can pay for the books, $25 payable in International Postal Money Order, which is available at your post office. You can write to Alan. Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, Canada, P3E4N1. Or you can contact webmaster at alanwattcuttingthrough@yahoo.com. We are asking you kindly to be kind and be generous and get Alan's books, because Alan really wants to help as much as he possibly can. And that's very, very important, as we know that people need to be awakened to Tesla and Tesar and all the other things like HARP and chemtrails, to understand that you are on the agenda. When the chemtrails were sprayed here, the people are walking around and are sick. So we want you to know that. Alice, can you tell what happened at your place before we go off air?
Oh, with the spraying, you mean? Or yeah. The thunder, yeah. With the spraying, yeah, it's so bad that the new type of spray, it blends faster with the other sprays. It cracks around it, and literally everyone is coming down with sinusitis, bronchitis, because it's very rough on your lung tissue and your sinuses. It's the same down in the States, Michigan, those areas, and you can actually sometimes taste the metallic taste of the aluminum oxide in your mouth when it's heavy spraying. So we're really being dosed and set up for something big right now. It also lowers your immune system big time, so that if they do release something, it could be very deadly indeed.
Let us do what we can, and we see all of you with Alan. And in the water, says Edgar Casey fan. Edgar Casey, another thing, Alan. This guy was a Mason. His grandfather was a Mason, isn't that right? There you are. We want you to be there, and tomorrow night, of course, you can be there. But tonight, we say thank you to Alan, and, of course, Thursday, tell your friends to log on or to hear at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Being in the know, living in the know, and, of course, understanding by good thoughts, good deeds, good action, no killing, and your kindness for all who live upon the planet, and say no to those who are warmongers. And with this, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. And are these shows recorded? Yes, they are recorded. and archives, and you can also hear the show, Edgar Cayce, on Alan's website. If you have your pencil, Alan's website, www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Very important. And with this, we wish you all a pleasant thank you, and we hope you're all getting to get with it.
In your home, at work, and around the world, broadcasting without borders, this is Eye on the Future Radio with Hepzibah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having joined the show this evening with Hepzibah's special guest tonight, Alan Watt. Visit Alan's website at www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. For upcoming guests, visit Eye on the Future's website at www.eyeonthefutureradio.com and visit the blog at http://intheknow.eyeonthefutureradio.com. To learn more about Hepzibah, to read her extensive prophecies, visit www.saoshan.org. That's www.saoshyant.org. Also visit the blog at http://changeforanewtomorrow.saoshant.org. Join Hepzibah here next on Monday, March 13th, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a good evening, everyone, and thank you.
And living in integrity is the only way to go, without compassion, without using your wisdom and your kindness, and by informing your friends and family, you're not going to make it, because this is no longer a me, I world. Come together, help each other, and be informed. Good night. Alan? Yeah.